hey, we hope you guys had a good week. Hopefully you're filling up your weekend here with some soaking all in the college football. Or not football. Oh, man. All right. College basketball, second best. All right, second best. We're glad that you're here. Throughout the month of March here at Grace, we have been having kind of an old-fashioned family meeting. And it's one of those things you've got to do once in a while. In the last few weeks, we have laid out the plan kind of for the future of our church. We've talked about some opportunities that it looks like God has for us, maybe some doors that it sure looks like God has opened for us as a church family to walk through together. And we've talked about some hard things. I mean, we've talked about sacrifice and generosity. We've talked about money. Things, I'll be honest with you, that I kind of feel guilty about because I don't talk about it to the extent that Jesus did. And I probably should be talking about those things more, but it's just awkward, so I don't. And so we've been talking about those things. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about those things. And so it's going to be awkward. But that's cool. All right, I need you guys to hang with me. You can relax. I'm not going to be, you know, asking you to sign anything or to commit to anything this week, okay? And we can have fun with it. It's just okay to talk about hard topics and have fun, right? Okay, all right, good. That's better than the two services before, so we're good. Let me just say this. If you are new, we know that you're here. Okay, we have new people here all the time. That's cool. We are so glad that you're here. We want you to someday be a part, hopefully, a part of our church family. We want you to choose to be here. Maybe you've been here for a few times, and you're just trying to figure out, like, if you even want to come back to this church. Okay, that's cool. We hope you do. If you're brand new or you don't know where you stand with Jesus and you're just trying to figure the whole Jesus thing out, we are going to be talking about money today. I'll tell you straight up. We don't want you to give anything. Okay, we're not after your money by any means. What we want for you is we want you to start a real, true relationship with your Creator. It's something that you were designed to have. That's what we want from you. It's the most important decision you could ever make in your entire life, and it is so much more important than money. Okay, that is what we want from you. By the way, can I also point out that if you are here, you're just kind of visiting, you're checking us out. Again, this is kind of a family meeting type thing. If you go to another good Bible teaching church, not church, but good Bible teaching church, you should be giving to your church and not us, okay? They should be giving, number one, to your local church and your church family. And so if that's you as well, feel free to listen in. We hope that if you're new or you're just kind of checking us out, we hope that you come back next week. We are going to be wrapping this family meeting thing up, and then we'll be back to normal. And then just a couple weeks after that, we got Easter, so we're excited for that. But here at Grace, this is just simply what we are. We are a movement of broken, messed up, jacked up, horrible, terrible people, all right? Welcome to church. That's who we are. And we are dedicated to, we're dedicating our lives to doing whatever we possibly can to reaching as many people as we possibly can for Jesus. That's what we're about. We're really just a big, messed up family trying to save as many people around us as we can. And we've seen a whole bunch of that. I mean, here, that's what we're about. We are about life change, and specifically at our Tiffin campus, as well as our other campuses, I mean, we have seen a lot of it. Here is one example of that.
My name is Rush, and I started following Jesus just over a year ago. I believe we all have formative moments that shape who we are. For me, some of those moments include losing my mother during childhood, suffering from an autoimmune disorder that resulted in total hair loss, and struggling with my identity, finding hope, and ultimately feeling worthless. In the summer of 2023, one of my friend's brothers had told me about Jesus, and this was the first time in my life that my attention was really grabbed. We were on the way back home from paintballing, and he had given me the gospel for the first time, and that I had recalled hearing it. At that time in my life, I was in desperate need of a savior, a redeemer, and someone to provide me new life. It seems Jesus had to offer all that I was in need of. I started attending Grace on Sundays with my grandparents and going to their house for Bible studies every Tuesday. I started to read scripture. I started to become a little more knowledgeable on the word, and it was that clash between what I had thought was right my entire life And now what God is telling me is right, and God showing me his way, his character, his teachings through his word. And as a result of that, I knew I had a decision to make. Deciding on Jesus really just shows that you have come into recognition that we're all sinful in nature and that we are indeed in need of a savior. And I came to that realization in January of 2024, and alone in my apartment, on my hands and knees, I gave my life to the Lord. I was then baptized and became a member here at Grace. Giving my life to Jesus was the greatest decision I have ever made. He has given me peace, purpose, and fulfillment that I once thought was unattainable. I no longer rely on myself or others to determine my worth. Instead, I trust who God says I am. In Christ, I have been made a new creation with the old gone. Along with this new identity, I began serving on Wednesday nights here at Grace for our few student ministries. I really enjoy serving our area kids, sharing moments with them, playing basketball, getting to know them really, and ultimately pointing them back to Jesus. As a result of getting to know the students and leaders and coming into relation with a lot of the pastors here, it's really led me into considering ministry as a career path, and I'm super excited for that. I'm excited to give back what God has given to me. And it fuses the two greatest desires of my heart, that being the love of God and the love of others. I'm incredibly grateful to Grace for all the opportunities they've provided me and the relationships I've found here. Just being led in the spirit and in truth to others, to love others, and to have an ultimate hope that is only found in Jesus.
That's what we're all about. All right, it's life change like that. And I know a lot of you have a similar story to Rush. We actually just hired Rush as our resident, one of our positions, and he'll be here helping us out with Young Adult on Sunday nights with Mike, and we're excited for that. But for me, that's why I give my money, right? That's why I give my time, is because of stories like that. Here in Tiffin, over the past 5 years, we have seen so many people give their lives to Jesus. It's been crazy, and we should never, ever get tired of that. It did not take God long to fill up our building, and many times, many services, we're full, and that's not just here in the auditorium, but that's also in our classrooms with our kids in that area, and my biggest fear as your pastor is that we as a church family would get comfortable, and that we would take a rest, and that we'd look at ourselves and we'd feel really good about ourselves, and after seeing the success that God has done through us, and that we would begin to coast. That's what happens to churches, but we cannot do that. All right, we got to choose not to do that because we are not done. Instead, we look around and we see all the life change, just even within this room, that we see as this grows and grows and grows. That should motivate us to run harder and to prepare better and to sacrifice and to work for our future. And so that's what we've been looking towards. That's what we've been working towards. And so we have come up with a plan here at Grace. We need to make space. And in order to do that, we need to build a new auditorium is what we're looking at. And so over the past couple weeks, we've given you a handout that gives you more information on what we're looking to do. We want everybody to know our plan. So if whether you consider Grace your church home or not, it doesn't really matter. If you're interested, if you do consider Grace your church home, you should 100% grab one of those. If you don't, that's totally cool. You could grab one too. But we want everybody to know our plan. It's no secret. We don't have any secrets or anything like that. So we want you to know kind of where we're headed and kind of the goal that we has as a church family. I was telling you guys 2 weeks ago that I have a pastor friend who's kind of in a similar situation as us. He's here in Ohio in a similar, kind of a smaller community, and they have the same problem that we do, is that they are just out of space. They're at 3 services. They're running out of space quickly, and so they're building an auditorium that holds about 1,200 people, and the price tag on that for them is $17.5 million, all right, which is crazy, and it's a lot of money, but that's just kind of how things are these days. We think we can do one here for $8.5. That's what we're looking at here at our Tiffin campus. That auditorium will be just over 1,000 seats, so it's a little smaller, but that's what we're looking to do. In order to accomplish that, we know that that's just going to... whether we like it or not. It's going to take sacrifice by us, right? It's on us. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take time. It's going to take a bunch of work, and it's going to take money. And so that's what we've been talking about. You know, Jesus talked a lot about money. I heard a stat this week that said 40% of Jesus' sermons, he talks about money and possessions. And I think there's a reason for that, right? See, money is one of those things that trips us up in our relationship with God until we choose to see it the way that Jesus teaches us to see it. And it starts with how we view money and how we view generosity. It starts with our mindset. Okay, that's where it all begins. It starts by viewing everything that we have, as we talked about last week, viewing everything that we have as his and not ours. And really, all right, we are the stewards of what God has given us. We are stewards of God's stuff. It's almost like we got to line money up the way that God has designed money to be in our life. And so the problem with us with that is that the world teaches us something completely different. All right, the world in our face, 24/7, every commercial. I mean, the world tells us that we need to live, save, and give in that order. All right, we need to live. We need to do whatever we want that makes us feel happy. All right, if that makes you feel happy, go ahead and buy it. A lot of people, or a lot of us in here, we live on more than what we actually bring in, and we're in debt, and that's an issue. That's a problem all over our country. And so the world says you need to live. If you have any leftover, then you can save, and then the leftovers you give if there's any leftover from that. That, by the way, is an us first mentality. All right, that's an us-first mentality. It's kind of the thing where we just, you know, it's almost like we tip God on the way out type thing, okay? Here's a 5, here's a 20, or whatever, all right? I'm good till next week. All right, that is religion. That's what religion is you do a bunch of good stuff, hoping that God will see you there so that someday, when you die, which you will, all right, that you will appease God so much that he'll look at you and he'll say, hey, you should be on my team. I really need you, like that type of thing. That's what religion is, all right? That's what we naturally end up doing. And then Jesus comes on the scene. Actually, throughout the whole Bible, what we see is God's like, no, all right? Don't have an us-first mentality. You need to have a God-first mentality, and Jesus switches it. He flips these. He says, number one, give. Number two, save. And then number three, live on the rest. Live on what's left. This is a God-first mentality, and this is evidence. If you live this way, this is evidence that God is first in your life. One time, Jesus, he's in front of a huge crowd. And he's teaching about money, he's teaching about possessions and kind of what this all looks like. And he's teaching that you need to have a God-first mentality, not an us-first mentality, which is what we're all prone to have. And this is what Jesus says, right? He says, be careful, right? He's saying, be careful, right? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. All right, he's like, hey, don't do just a bunch of good stuff in front of people to impress them, okay? You know people like that where it's like we do good and we're supposed to do good, which is totally fine, all right? But when we're doing it with the wrong motives, God's not impressed by that, all right? He says, don't do good in front of people to impress them. And what he's going to be talking about for the rest of this talk is he's actually talking about money and giving and generosity. And so before we get into that, I mean, we can replace that word, be careful not to practice your generosity in front of others to be seen by them. He's saying that's the wrong heart. Years ago, I was with a buddy of mine. We went to this church, and I'd never been here before. This was my first time. And you know how you walk into a church? You guys, we've all been there, okay? Even I'm a pastor, and this is how it is for me. You walk into a church for the first time, it's just super awkward. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When you walked in here, some of you, it was just awkward because you're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what's going on here. People are walking around with coffee everywhere. Were they getting that? You know, like all that stuff. Okay, I know how it is. And so we walked in, and this was a smaller church, so it was even more awkward. I couldn't just like kind of slip in and be unnoticed. It was in an auditorium that was super long and narrow, but this small church was like packed out with people. Like the building was small, but there's people like everywhere. And so what do we do? Because this is our first time there, and we're new, and we're just visiting this one time. We weren't planning on going back. We're just checking it out. We go in, and we slip in the back, okay? Back row, aisle seat. Everybody knows that's the best seat in the entire place. You know what I'm saying? Easy out in case things get weird. And you could easily, it's a church, right? So things can't get weird. And we're sitting there, and I'm on the aisle, and we're talking and stuff, and the service is getting ready to start. And this dude walks over to us, and he hands each of us a dollar, and he says, you're going to need this. And then he walks away. That's all he says. And we're just like, what? what was that about? What's going on? Like, you know, thanks, man. Yeah, you know, I'm putting it in my pocket. I'm like, this guy gave me a dollar. This is sweet. I'm getting paid to go to church, all right? And that's awesome. And so, but we didn't know what exactly. We thought that was super weird and whatever. You know, it's church, so you got weird people. We all know that. And so we're sitting there, and the church begins, and the service starts. And it's a really long service. I mean, this is like 45 minutes later. We're still singing, and we're getting, you know, getting tired of standing. I'm like, oh, can we sit down for a second? Like that type of thing. We all think that once in a while. Don't act like you're better than me. And we're all sitting there, or we're all standing there, and this old lady walks up to me, and she starts to, she's like beckoning, she's asking me to come out into the aisle, and I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't know what you're selling. I don't want it. I just want to sit here in my seat. This is awkward. And she's like, no, come on. She's like insistent that I come out into the aisle, and I'm like, no. And it's about that time that my friend Jeff, he pushes me out into the aisle. So I'm like, out there, I look down the aisle. All right, everybody looks back at me, and I'm like, what is happening? I knew this church was weird. I knew I shouldn't have come here. And she starts shuffling me down towards the stage, like right down the center aisle. And I'm just like, no, I'm, you know, but everybody's looking. I don't know what's going to happen. And that's when I realized that there is a guy standing in front of the stage with a bucket. And then I remember the dollar. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to put this in there. And I look behind me, and there's a line of people behind me. I just happened to be sitting in the seat on the first row, or on the I was the first one in the back row. So I'm just saying, if you're in the back row, you're on the side. Like, we don't do that here, but in some churches, is a risk. Okay, I know that from experience. And so we get down there, and I just happen to be the first one, and I throw my dollar in. All right, not knowing if that's what was supposed to happen or not, because, you know, I wasn't paying attention or whatever. And as soon as I throw that in, the crowd erupts. Like, everybody's clapping, they're cheering, they're whistling. I mean, people are going nuts. And I'm like, this is, you know, I'm like bowing. I didn't do that. I was like, all right, cool, you know, see my dollar. You know, and I walked around. And I noticed that every single person after me, as they put something in the offering plate, all right, the whole crowd would cheer and clap and applause and all this stuff. And so I think back to that, and I'm like, it's kind of interesting, because here's Jesus. He says not to do that, you know, specifically. Don't practice your righteousness, or don't be generous in front of others to be seen by them. He says, otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father in heaven. Right? He's like, don't do that. Your reward when you do that is simply the applause that you get. Right? Because when we do stuff like that, or we're good, you know, just to be seen, or we're generous just to be seen, we're actually doing this for the wrong reasons. We're doing this with the wrong heart. And so Jesus, he says, so whenever you give, or whenever you're generous, for them, they had to give to the poor. It's one of the things that they had to do. He says, whenever you're generous, don't sound a trumpet before you. You know, like, don't do that. Like, here I am. Here's my money. Check me out. He says, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, he says, don't be generous to be applauded by people, like I was in that church, although that felt pretty good, all right? He's like, don't do that. That's, you're doing this for the wrong reasons. He says, truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Meaning God looks at you, even when we're generous, even if we're generous with a lot, but if we're doing it for the wrong reasons, God looks down at us and he's not impressed with us. Everybody else is going, wow, that's so generous. Wow, you're so good. And God's saying, well, that's the only reward you get is their oohs and their ahs for you, because you're getting nothing from me. See, when we give, we should be giving with the right heart. And see, people give all the time with the wrong heart. I mean, we all do this. Every single person in this room, we have done this, all right? Where we have given because it's felt forced, you know? And so we're doing it because we feel forced, or maybe we give because we feel guilted into it, like, oh, okay, you know, that type of thing. You go to some churches, and they teach, like, hey, you need to give, and if you give, God's going to make you rich. You ever watch, like people on TV and TV evangelists and stuff like that? You know, they promise you health and wealth, right? Is that what you, like, that's what you're looking for? All right, see, the problem with that is, well, the Bible, okay? That's the problem. God, he does promise to give back, all right? We see that throughout the Bible, that he promises to give back when we give to him, but not necessarily in beach houses and Cadillacs. Get what I'm saying? All right? He doesn't promise to make us rich. Now, can he? Yes. Does he for some? Yes. All right? Does he promise you or me that he's going to do that for us? No. See, God doesn't promise to give you all the stuff that you want, but if you think about it, right, stuff ain't the end goal anyway. Like, we get confused. We get mixed up in our mind. We think, you know, if I only had that thing or if I only had this stuff or whatever it might be, but that's not even the end goal. See, God gives beyond our temporary stuff. And one thing we need to remember is that we can never outgive God. All right, you can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it. He will always outgive you, which is a good thing. But God doesn't promise it you that it will always be in the form of money and stuff. Although for me personally in my life, I can honestly say for me personally that the more I give, the more God seems to bless me financially. It's kind of weird. But I'm not rich. See, some of us, we come in with the attitude of like, if I give to God, then he owes me. All right, he owes me this, and I really want one of those, and so he better make that happen, and he really needs to come through in this area of my life. We think he owes me this and that. Dude, he doesn't owe you anything. We understand that, right? He doesn't owe us. See, what we're doing when we do that is we think, it's like we have this mindset of, hey, I'm investing in Team Jesus, whatever that means, and so I'm giving, and I'm generous towards God, and I'm doing that just so I could get more stuff. What we're actually doing is we're investing in ourselves. All right, think about it. We are generous towards others, and the end goal is so that we will get more. It's actually, we're twisting it, and we're turning it to, our generosity actually becomes all about us. See, a few minutes later, Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. All right, something that every single one of us, we are all guilty of. All right, I mean, you get that probably everybody in here. All right, I'm going to say 100% of the people in this room right now, think about it. All right, we get that we're all within the top 1% wealthiest people in the world. We understand that, right? All right, it's just true. We are. And if you go to our house, if we go home, we got so much stuff. We got so much stuff, don't we? We got stuff. We got closets full of stuff. We got, look under your bed, all right? You got stuff, all right? It's just true, all right? We got stuff everywhere. We are so rich. I mean, think about it. Our car has its own house, okay? It's a car, all right? It has its own house. We have so much stuff. And what we do with that house is after we fill up our attics with stuff and after we fill up our basements with stuff, we actually use our car's house to house our other stuff. And then our car has to sit out in the driveway, and you know how that goes, right? It just gets so, yeah. And then after we fill up our garages, what do? Then we go rent out a storage unit, and we fill the storage unit with stuff. We rent out space just to put our stuff, all right? It's like a thing. See, we are so rich. I mean, think about it. Think about it, guys. Like, isn't it so hard for us to be rich? I mean, me too, all right? It's hard. We got our rich people problems, all right? You ever have that thing where you're like, first world problem, you get what I'm saying, all right? Because we have money and stuff, and we have problems with it. Like, we have different problems than most of the world. I mean, think about it. We have entire rooms of our house dedicated to just clothes. Get what I'm saying, all right? We all got closets full of clothes. And then what rich people have to do, this is the problem with rich people, is they walk into that room and they look around and what do we say? I got nothing to wear. Isn't that funny? That's what we do, right? We've all been there. All right, poor people, like real poor people, I'm not saying the poorest people in this room, I'm talking like legitimately poor people all over the world, they don't have to worry about that stuff. All right, they don't got to worry about that, okay? Like rich people's clothes have seasons. Okay, we ever look at clothes, you're like, oh, I can't wear that. It's not summer. That's summer shirt right there. You know, or nah, that's fall. All right, that's flannel. Okay, I can't do that. Like you think about that. Poor people, they wear what they got. All right, we got to worry about all this stuff, like when we wear the clothes because we got so many clothes. All right, rich people, you know what they have to do? We have to match our clothes. Isn't that tough sometimes? All right, now I think women are more into this than guys. Where it's like, you know, these shoes got to match this top. They don't match. You know, I don't even know what a top is. Kate uses that word sometimes. I'm like, you mean shirt? I think it's shirt, but it's like more than, I don't know. All right, I don't have any tops, but I got shirts. So whatever that is. Think about it. Think about it. Do you ever run out of hangers? Does that ever happen? We run out of hangers because we have too many clothes. Like, that's just how it works. Real poor people, they don't have to worry about hangers. They don't even have hangers, right? You ever come home from the grocery store, and you're trying to put all your food away in the fridge, and you realize that it's just not going to fit? And so what do we got to do, right? You got to pull out food that's still good, but it's not as new as the new food that we're putting in, and we got to take that good food, and we got to throw that good food away to put more good food in. Like, that's how rich we are, okay? Those are the kind of problems that we have to figure out. And it's just so hard for us to be rich. And what's funny is none of us in this room, none of us do we view ourselves as rich. But the reality is, because we can all think of people who we think are more rich than us, but in reality is we are in the top 1% in the world. Now, what God's not saying is he's not saying you can't have stuff. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What he's saying is don't store up stuff and put your hope and trust in that stuff. Now, how do you know if you're doing this or not? Well, the first question, super easy. How generous are you? And that's how you know. Answer that question. By the way, when I ask that question, it's not how generous you want to be, which is kind of weird because that's how we measure our generosity. It's not real. I'm saying, how generous are you in reality? Number two, you ever pay off your credit card or maybe your car loan or your student loans or maybe some of you guys even your house? Now, I'm jealous of you, just saying, all right? But if you ever pay off anything or maybe you have a savings account or a certain account that you want to get to a certain level, you know, and you finally achieve that financial goal or whatever, do you ever look at that account or you ever look at those things and you just kind of feel safe? Like, oh man, I got that off my back. I paid that off. I'm good. Or, hey, I reached this certain level. That's what I was trying to reach. Now I kind of feel safe. When we do that, watch out. Be careful, like what Jesus is saying, right? When we do that, what we are actually beginning to do is we're beginning to put our hope and our trust in that bank account and not him. See, our stuff does not last. Every single one of us, we're all in the same boat in the fact that we are one phone call away from a doctor where our money and our stuff just becomes useless to us, worthless, because there's more important things in life. And so Jesus is saying, don't store up treasures here on earth, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Basically, what he's saying, when you gather up more and more and more stuff, he's basically saying, logically, that's just a bad investment. All right, it's just a bad investment in you. Not when you can be investing in helping people find Jesus. And by the way, you can't take any of your stuff. You can't take your cat. You can't take your dog. You can't take your pets or nothing. All right, people are the only thing that you could take to heaven with you. The only thing is people. Your stuff, you get that your kids are going to do a bunch of dumb stuff with your stuff. You get that, right? Like, they just will. All right, they're going to take all your cool stuff. They're going to take it all after you're gone, after you die, and they're just going to ruin everything. That's what kids do, right? They do that even when they're little kids, but they're going to do it again once you're dead. Someday, like, think about it. Some guy who you don't even know is going to own your golf clubs, okay? And he won't even fully appreciate the clubs that he now owns because he got them at such a big discount. And you know what should really tick you off? He's going to be better than you with your own clubs. That should really bother you, but it's true. All right, and ladies, those pants that you had to have, all right, those pants someday are going to be sold at Goodwill for like $6, all right? And it's true. And some other lady is going to look better than you in your own pants. It's true, all right? It's just true. Someday your kids, they're going to sell your house for less than it's worth just to kind of move on from you. That's what they're going to do. And the next owner is going to paint your room a color that if you were to see it, make you want to puke. Like, that's just what happens. Someday, all your expensive tools sold in a garage sale. All right, all your guns, they're going to be covered in dust in somebody else's closet. All right, all your dishes in China. All right, I don't even know what happens to that stuff. I don't think anybody cares about that. All right, that just goes. Someday, a bunch of your good stuff. Someday, a bunch of your best stuff that you have displayed all throughout the house. Someday, some of your good stuff, no one's even going to want it. And then what happens is your own offspring that you birthed, all right, some of you, and that you brought into this world, they're actually going to throw your good stuff away after they make fun of it with your other offspring, all right? That's just what happens in life. It's just true. And what's funny about it is we all know that's true. We don't like to think about it, maybe. But it's true. We all know that we can't take our stuff with us. But we still choose to live our life investing in stuff. We all do this. I do this. You do this. And Jesus says, that's a heart issue. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, when I was growing up, I looked at this verse. I've heard this verse, you know, all my life. But I always thought it was flipped. You get what I'm saying? I always thought it was like, well, where your heart is. Like, if I really care about this organization or this cause or, you know, whatever you're all into, you know, I'm like, well, then my money, that's where I'll naturally want to put my money, okay? I always thought for where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. But Jesus, that's not actually what he says. I was looking at it this week, and I'm like, oh, dang. All right, Jesus says something completely different, right? What he's saying is, no, where your money goes, because your money goes, your money flows out from you. He says, where your money goes, your heart follows. It's the other way around. Your heart follows the money. The money does not follow the heart. And every single one of us, we are in a dangerous spot. While we are rich by world standards, which we all are, in our culture, I'm guessing that most of us in here, we're just kind of average, right? And so that's a dangerous spot to be in because we're not so poor that we have to trust God for our next meal or our basic needs. I don't think any of us were that poor, but we're also not so wealthy in the fact that we've tried everything out there and we've learned that nothing will satisfy except for God. All right, so we're kind of in the middle. It's like we make just enough money to pursue the next thing that we think will make us happy and safe. And what we end up doing is we end up running towards those things. We end up running towards that money. And that's what we end up focusing our life on. But Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot do both. He says, since either he will hate one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other, you cannot serve both God and money. If you got a problem with him, with that, then that's Jesus. You can email him, okay? Do that tomorrow morning. That'll be fine. What he's saying is he's saying money is our number one competitor for our heart. Money is our number one competitor for our heart. Now God doesn't hate money, okay? God's the one who gave you money, okay? He's not giving you something that he hates, right? What he's saying you better watch how you use it because it's not yours. And we have the tendency to serve the money that God has given us. Now, the question is, how do we break that? How do we beat it? How do we fix this? Jesus says, this is how you do it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Right? He's saying, give back to God our first. We talked about this last week. All right, give back to God our first and our best. It's not just our first. It's actually our best too. Now, what does that look like? Again, last week we talked about this concept that we see from basically the beginning of the Bible to the end, this concept that we call a tithe, okay? Super churchy word, I get it. And what that literally means is 10%. That's what the word means. And so we see this kind of taught throughout the Bible, but really, guys, that was actually kind of the bottom rung is what we see, which is kind of hard for us to think about because for some of us, that sounds crazy, and I get it. I get it does. But think about it. What better thing do you give your first and best to? Because you're giving your first and best to something. You're giving it to something. What do you give it to? See, this is what Kate and I, we decided long ago, years ago, when we first got married, we're like, we want to start with 10%. That's kind of where we start. We've gotten on a budget. We've done a bunch of practical things to make it possible for us to get there. And that's what we do. Every single day of every single year, I mean, we do 10%. We're super strict in our own lives about that. Because I feel like that's what God's teaching, not just for you, but for me too. I'm a part of this too. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Now, what are these things he's talking about? He's talking about the things that you worry about and you stress about. He's talking about money and grocery bills and your house and your clothes and your stuff. That's what people who aren't Jesus followers do. That's what the world, all right, freaks out about and stresses out about. He says, you don't have to stress, all right? You don't have to worry about that stuff. He's like, I'll get that taken care of. You give to me. You come to me and you give me your first and your best and I will take care of you. See, Jesus, he's saying, man, there's a bunch of people who claim to be Jesus followers, but when it comes to our finances and our resources and our stuff, there's a lot of us who live like practical atheists. And you might be sitting there, you're like, well, huh, what? No, I'm no atheist. I'm all about Jesus. I believe in God. I go to church. I listen to Jesus music. I do all the Jesus stuff. But Jesus would push back and say, but yeah, when it comes to your finances, you refuse to give that area of your life control to me. And you invest in all this stuff. And you invest in whatever will make you feel safe, and you act like you own it all. And Jesus would say, you just don't trust me. See, here at Grace, we invest in people. It's just true. It's the only thing we could take with us. And Liana is one of those. Check out her story.
I'm Liana, and I grew up going to a Catholic church. After I kind of moved away from the Catholic church, I was starting to look for how to rebuild my relationship with Jesus and to reconnect with him. In 2019, shortly after TIFFIN opened, I began attending. Immediately after going for the first time, I became more curious about Jesus and actually purchased my first Bible and looked forward to learning more and more about it each time I went. Pastor Zach talked about 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Immediately that verse struck me and just inspired me to live my life the way Jesus would want me to each and every day. And in fall of 2019, I trusted him for the first time. I could feel my eyes and heart opening up to all the way Jesus had worked in my life, and I wanted to go about and serve others in that same way. In 2024, I moved from TIFFIN to Bellevue, and shortly after started attending Fremont. I became involved serving on Sundays in order to become better connected with the church and to serve and just to give back. When I heard that we were launching a Sandusky campus, I immediately was interested and thought about becoming involved. I began praying to Jesus and asking him to guide me in the right direction and to call me where he wanted me to go. After praying on it more and more, I kept feeling compelled to go, and that's when I decided to become part of the launch team so I could be part of the Sandusky campus right away, help others get to know Jesus, and serve. Hearing about Jesus at the TIFFIN campus truly changed my life. And getting the opportunity to go to Sandusky and be part of a launch team is super exciting. I can only pray that by being part of the Sandusky launch team, I can help others discover truth and decide on Jesus.
So, remember, people are the only thing we could take to heaven with us. And when we give, specifically here to Grace, I'm just saying, and you look at the life change around us, you should celebrate that, right? Especially if you're a part of our launch team 5.5 years ago, I mean, specifically with Liana, you can look at her story and you could see her and you can see the life change in her life and you can say, I was a part of that. And I don't know about you, but I want more of that. And so this is what I'm going to ask for you to do. If you call Grace your church home for the next 7 days, I ask that you pray. And pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray that God will use us as a church family and that we will corporately respond to this challenge that God has put before us. Whether we like it or not, it's just true. It's just reality of it. Question is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond? And not only that, but also I ask that you pray for you. And if you're a couple, pray for you guys that you also will respond to this challenge that God has put before us. So I also want you thinking about, you know, what does God want you to do? I want you to be strategic. I don't want you to do what I'm asking you to do. I don't want you to give towards, you know, to whatever somebody else, maybe a friend or whatever, has suggested. I'm saying I want you to figure out what God wants for you to do to help us fix this problem over and beyond what you currently do. And this is for me too, right? Kate and I, we've already talked about it, but we're going to talk about that more this week. And we're going to try to figure out what kind of sacrifice that we can make to do whatever we can to make space for people who aren't inside these walls yet. And again, if you're new, we aren't asking a dime for you, right? In fact, we are doing this for you, right? We are making space for you because someday we want you to choose to be a part of us. We want you to choose to give your life to Jesus. That's what we want. We want for you to be a part of our church family. And so we are sacrificing and we are going to make this happen for you. But if you consider Grace your church family, or you consider Grace your church home, it's our time. It's crazy. We've talked about over the last few weeks just our church and how we started back in 1939 and just all the bold moves that our church and the people that came before us have made. It's just now, it's our turn. And so if you consider Grace Your Church home, what I ask is in your program, we threw out a card in there. It's a commitment card. Here at Tiffin, what we want to do is we want to raise $5 million. Now, the whole project is $8.5 million. We know that that other campuses, you know, they're going to help us out with some of this stuff, and we know that we'll probably have to get some sort of loan or financing to help us out. But on the back of the card, I've been talking to a lot of you guys, and a lot of you guys have asked, how many have to give what? Just to try to make this make sense in our minds. And so this is a breakdown that I came up with just kind of throughout. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but this gets us to $5 million. All right? This gets us to our goal, to the $5 million that we're trying to bring in for us to do this. And so one thing to help with this is we're extending this to 4 years. This is over a four-year period, all right, not 1 week, okay? Although if you want to do 1 week, that's totally fine, all right? But this is over a four-week period, or four-year period, and we're trying to make that possible. But this allows us to make some big decisions that we have ahead of us. And so next week, we're going to ask you to commit to this. If you consider Grace Your Church home, okay, if you're one of us, we ask you to commit to one of these. And what we'd ask for you to do is just circle a horizontal line there. And so what's this look like? That means we need 50 people to give $5,000 over the next 4 years, okay? That's what we need. We need 20 people to give $25,000. We need 4 people to give $250,000, if that makes sense. That's kind of how this is all broken up. That's what we need to happen, and that's one way. We also know that people are in all different areas. Some people will give, you know, some odd amounts or stuff like that. That's totally fine. You could write that down on the other line, and you know, you're part of this too. So that's good. But we're not going to hold you to your commitment. I mean, we hope that you do it. I'm not necessarily going to know what your commitment is. The system will send you updates like 4 times a year just to help you keep track. I know I'll need that for me. But this decision is between you and your spouse or between you and God. Right? This is a you and God thing. And so what we're asking for you to do is to bring back your card next week. Next week's our commitment Sunday. Next week is just going to be different. And not only are we asking you to bring your card, but we're asking you to take a step of faith and bring your first and your best. That bring the starting amount towards your goal. That's something that I'll be working on this week. I'm going to have to move some stuff around to be able to write a check. We want you to bring the first and best. I know some of you guys have already started. I appreciate that. But I would rather you wait for next week, and I would rather we do this together as a church family. And so don't turn in your card today. I want you to go through the process, and I want you to decide individually or as a couple what is going to be your bold move. Like the people before us, what now that it's our time, what is going to be our bold move? I want you to talk to God about it a lot. I want you to talk it over with your spouse. I want you to get creative. That's what Kate and I are going to be doing. And then I want you to make a bold move. As we boldly move forward in our story as a church family to help save more. It all starts next week. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this challenge. You don't hear that often, but we are thankful. We're thankful for all the success that you've seen us have, that you've given us here as we reach more and more and more people. Not success because we've have a certain amount or a certain number on a Sunday morning. Lord, we're talking about success because people are giving their lives to you and we have seen life change, like the two examples we've seen this morning. God, we thank you so much for that. And God, we beg you that you would keep using us here in Tiffin, that we would keep rolling, that we would not stop, we would not get comfortable, we would not take a rest, but this would help motivate us to go harder and to run faster because our time is short. God, we thank you. And we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.